I'm Dream Queen, you're in the cab with me, and thank you so much for joining. You can find archives of this show anywhere you play podcasts. Mixcloud will give you the whole show with music. You can find all kinds of links at Linktree and In the Cab Radio. Please tune in. Lily, thank you so much for joining.
Hi there.
So, oh my gosh, I was just telling you earlier, and I'm telling my listeners now, you're a mystery to me, an enigma and a mystery, mystic woman that I've seen around this town for the 12 years I've been here and have sparked so much curiosity within me about the work that you do and what you offer our community. So thank you for being here.
Thanks a lot. I really love to get on the radio and talk, so because I'm a talker.
So. Well, please, would you tell the audience, because my audience hasn't met you through here yet, and I know that there are many local listeners, but there's people far and wide who are like, who's this Lily White Swan? How do you want people to know you right now?
Well, I became Lily White Swan in the 70s, in like 73. I have many names. My first name that I didn't find out until I was in my 60s was Donna Lynn Timmerman. I was Linda Ogden for a long time. And then I have all of my husbands. I've been married 5 times, so I have had a lot of different last names. But I was thinking about changing my name, and I didn't know what to do because I needed to have a new name. I was in a melodrama in Cerritos, and we had to have acting names. So I was trying to figure it out, and one night at a bar, a guy asked me my name, and I said, oh, my name is Lily. And he goes, oh, I love Lily. And I thought, oh, whoa, that's a good name. And then a few weeks later, my girlfriend Donna Ludi and I were going to go sunbathe in an arroyo. And so we took a hit of acid, and I got to the arroyo, and I'm laying there, and I'm looking up at the sky, all nude and everything, and I go to her, look at the clouds. They look just like white swans. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, Lily White Swan, that's my name. And so that's my acting name. I acted under it for quite a few seasons, and it all of a sudden became my name. I just loved it. And if you look at my ID, it says Linda Ogden. So there's the part of the enigma. I've lived in Madrid since 1973. I was just out of college in Lubbock, Texas. And I lived in a commune. And our commune was the Fabulous Furry Freak family. And the leader of our commune had always wanted to move to Santa Fe. So that's what we did. We came out to Santa Fe, first to Waldo and then Cerritos, and then I found a house in Madrid to rent from Joe Huber and moved here. But at that time, I was just starting my journey as a spiritualist. At 18, I was going to be a Methodist minister, and I was already accepted to seminary and had been preaching youth groups and stuff in El Paso, and was ready for seminary, and I got pregnant. And then they didn't want me, of course. It was 1967, and you know how they treated people back then in the 60s if you were pregnant and unmarried. Luckily, my friend Lee was a friend, and he asked me to marry him, so he made me what you would guess you would call legal or whatever. So that was basically the start of my spiritual, but I gave up the Christian religion because they gave up on me, you know, And so I didn't know which way I was going and where I was going and was kind of lost. And I became a hippie, and they gave me my stability because they accepted me for who I was. And so then I met these ladies at a drama class, and they said, you should become a witch. And I said, well, how do you become a witch? And she says, well, you can come to our coven and we'll teach you how. And so in order to become a witch, you have to write, they have a book of, it was not a satanic book, but it was a book of, you were learning the history of the witches and stuff, but you had to write it down, and you had to make your wand, and then you had to make your shield, and so I did all that, but then I really didn't like the man who was the warlock, because the warlocks think they should take over, you know, and tell us what to do, how to do it, or whatever, and I didn't like that. But I enjoyed the witches part, and so I guess I feel like I became a witch at that time. I still didn't know what I believed, but I was still searching. I had gone to many different religions before then, and, you know, Catholic, Jewish, Mormon, and I checked those out when I was younger, but they didn't quite give me a direction to go. And so when I moved to New Mexico, my whole life changed, of course. I had to learn how to go and gather wood and get ready for winter and how to use a wood cook stove. And but I guess my true journey started when I got a divorce from my husband. And I went and had primal therapy and primal scream therapy.
Oh, what's that?
Have you ever tried that? Well, these are therapists that believe that the thing that we've not done in our life is the huge scream that lets go of all of the past pain and everything like that. And so what they try to do is they try to make you angry so that you will get so angry that you will scream. But I didn't really want to scream for this guy, but so I would take my therapy and drive quickly home to Madrid, jump out of the car, and I would run as fast as I could down the arroyos and get to the end of the arroyo, and then I would scream. And so one time I guess it was like what I felt like was my final scream of letting go of all of the whatever it was that I had gone through in my youth, which was quite a lot. And I wanted to be over it. I didn't want to dwell on it anymore, and I felt like a primal scream was the way to go. And so I was screaming, and all of a sudden I felt like at peace for the first time. And all of a sudden I could feel all of the spirits in the arroyo kind of like around me. And it's the first time I'd ever like felt the spirits. I felt that's when I met the spirit of Madrid, the Ma, that is the spirit of Madrid, come into my heart and made me realize how beautiful and open this land was. So it was definitely my first spiritual of being able to really just see, really and truly see the spirits that were in and around me in the arroyo. It was just most amazing. So I used to, of course, be awake at 4 o'clock in the morning because I was just getting used to being single and three kids, and 4 o'clock was my time for myself. And I had been reading a whole bunch of different spiritual books and stuff, and at that time decided that I really wanted to become the very best person that I could be and the most kind person. And I felt that Buddhism was the way to go because Buddhists work on themselves, making themselves the best that they can be. And that's, I guess, towards enlightenment or whatever. And so from then on, I danced down the arroyo. And my life started with my kids, and my whole life just started easing out. But I still didn't have any kind of direction to go. Then I got a reading from a girlfriend of mine, astrological reading, and she said to me, she says, you have to, nothing in this world will work out until you become a healer, because that's what you are. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a good direction to go, to be a healer. And it just so happened that she was the principal of a massage school in Santa Fe called Dr. Shears Healing. And she asked me if I wanted to go there and learn how to massage and learn more about spirituality and everything through that school. And I said, well, sure, you know. And so I started going to the school. And one day I read on the bulletin board that Dr. Shear needed someone on the weekends to help take care of him while the people that took care of him went away. And then all of a sudden, I'm working one day at Dr. Shear's, and they call and say that they're never coming back. And so I ended up working for Dr. Shear full time. Dr. Shear was a wonderful, wonderful man. And he was in the I Am Church, which follows St. Germain. I'll talk to you about the I Am Church maybe when we meet again. But the thing about St. Germain is that he's a healer, and he heals with the violet-purple flame. And so during massage school, then you have to, like, decide which direction you're going to take your massage, you know, what kind of masseuse you're going to be and how you're going to work on people, you know. Dr. Shear one day taught me the Egyptian way of massaging, which is rolling the skin and pulling it up and adding oxygen to the skin. And you can roll up the back and add oxygen and work on the vertebrae, getting them back into place and stuff without invasion or anything, you know. The Turkish, their massage is a pinching, which is an awful. I've had friends that have had Turkish, and it's just awful. But so terrible. Egyptian is kind of like the pinch, but not quite, you know what I mean? And so I decided on that Egyptian, and then I decided that I was going to be a curandera. And that's Spanish for healing. And I would be the first Buddhist curandera because it's mostly a Catholic type practice, you know. I wanted to be a curandera because curanderas don't charge for their healing. You just give them what you can. So if all you have is four eggs to give, then that's where you give the curandera, and I really like that. I like the idea that I didn't have to ask anyone to pay me for what I was going to do. So that's what I decided to do. And so then all of a sudden I started really, once I decided to become a curandera, I started doing dimensional travel, because that's part of being a curandera. But a curandera means seeing people in this world and seeing people out of this world and being a trusted friend in between. So I started by helping deliver babies. My first baby was here in Madrid. I had never done it before because I'd had all my children cesarean, so I didn't know anything about the other kind of birth. And my friend Jim came and got me and said, Linda's having the baby and we can't drive because she's... And I said, well, I've never done it. So I went in and he had books, all these books out. And so I started reading books real fast. And then I said to myself, you know, that I probably have done this many, many times in my past lives. And so I should be able to do this, and I should know exactly what to do and how to do it. And so it was the first time I basically went into myself and started looking through past lives. And I hit upon one that knew exactly what to do. And the only thing I didn't really know about was the cutting of the umbilical cord, you know, that part. And so she basically went to the, we drove her to the hospital with the baby, with the everything on her stomach, attached. You know. But so that was my first time. And then I moved up north to Peñasco, and I went to the hog farm where they had this lady called Oxygen. And Oxygen was birthing babies at the time. So I learned from Oxygen, and we went around and birthed hippie babies. And then I worked with a midwife in Las Vegas called Jesusita. I became her apprentice. And when you're an apprentice, you like make beans and make the tortillas and then help with the anything with the birthing. So I learned a whole bunch from Jesusita and came back here and birthed some more babies around Madrid and around Santa Fe and stuff. So then that was my first part of the seeing people into the world. And then my daughter asked me if I would help hospice my ex-father-in-law. And so he was my first seeing people out of the world. And then I helped my daughter-in-law with her grandfather hospice and seeing him through. And as soon as that happened, well, then all of a sudden I could feel that I had walked up a rung, you know, in my journey to become a full curandera. So that's basically when I graduated and to become a full curandera. And I came here after massage school, after working with Dr. Scheer for about a year and a half. And I came here and lived in the boxcar right there, Ice House Road, that yellow boxcar next to Travis.
Yeah.
I lived there. And I was writing poetry too, and so I called myself the boxcar poet there. And I massaged. My first massaging, I wrote, walk-ins are okay. And so then I started having these carpenters and stuff come in after they'd worked. And so, they would take their shoes off, and oh my God. So then I just realized that I just didn't really want walk-ins.
Were their feet too stinky?
Oh my God. You know, and they don't even apologize. That was a real, real weird one. And I wouldn't let them take their socks off. You know, I'd work on their feet through their socks. And that was pretty bad, too. So,
wow. Thank you for sharing all of that. Thank you for sharing all of that.
That was a quick run through of quite a few years of my life.
Wow. I mean, it's a really great base understanding of your journey so far. I mean, there's so many things, so many follow-up questions that I have. Tell me about what you're doing now.
Well, now I'm working on my sensitivities of what I'm really doing in the world. I'm still, when someone comes over, then I work on them. I make a no-pain elixir that we call coyote juice, to take away pain, and I work on people. I work on dimensions. It's really strange because I decided one day I was really sick and I didn't know what was going on. I was having a hard time breathing and I had pneumonia and everything. So I decided that I would dimensionally travel, which is just walking, creating a portal and stepping into the next dimension on the other side, you know? So I'm doing that, and then I step into a dimension and I stop, and I stepped into a dimension where I died. And I died that night, luckily in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And then they put me in a 3-day coma till I could breathe on my own. And during that time when I was in the coma, my daughter-in-law, who is a vet, so she was Dr. Sims, so she just used her doctor name and so she could come see me, you know. And she came in and they said, she's not responding to us. And so she came over and she touched me, and she's my apprentice, and she's a sensitive too. And she goes, oh no, she said, she's a healer and she's just taking a journey. And she'll wake up when she comes back. And so, and that's what it is. I journeyed while I was, and that's basically how we learn, is journeying and taking, being told things. And the other thing that happens is that I am given like a new strength and a new power once I've completed a certain journey that I'm supposed to be on. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
So that's what I've been working on, is what I call dimensional travel and dimensional learning, so that I understand things more. And I've been doing what this community thing is about. I've been really trying to work on keeping Madrid neutral, you know, which we had some negativity. I would guess you would call it negativity come through town. And I've always worked on the negativity that surrounds us. And so I've really tried to work on grounding the town. I guess when my friend Tina Dragon Lady was alive, she and I worked on the spirits that were in Madrid, that were the negative spirits. We worked on overcoming the negativity that they were feeling. And I feel that we did quite a good job, you know, on all the work that we did for Madrid. I really understand the crisis that is going on around us and the chaos. And that's what I've been working on, is the chaos.
Thank you for sharing your story and your journey. And thank you for the work you've done to help ground this town. It's a safe place for a lot of people here. It's been a safe place for me for about 12 years, and I've wondered how, like, what is the magic here? And you are definitely one of the guardians and gatekeepers here. So do you have any tips for a lay person or a beginning witch that can help people do some of that grounding work for themselves at home and as they move through the town? Because we each have things that may attach to us or, you know, attract to us or our own issues. I don't know, some salt in the pocket, you know, a little prayer. Like,
right.
Do you have anything to help?
Well, I think that the first thing that's really important for everyone is to learn to relax.
That's a whole class. Times like these.
I know you. It's like one of the hardest things in the world, but laying down and truly telling yourself to relax, once you start doing that, then you start noticing that your being starts coming back together. It's like an accordion, you know. Part of your being is like way out there, you know. And so when you start learning how to relax and to really relax, then you all of a sudden you notice that your being starts coming like to you and going in you and going down, like down in... I was laying on my futon, you know, couch or whatever, and learning to let it, like, my whole being go down into itself and really and truly learning how to relax. You know, it's one of the reasons why we can't sleep is because we have not taught ourselves again how to relax and being within ourselves and stuff like that. So I say to myself, relax, 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 so that it's a mantra word of making myself relax and becoming within myself. Once then you know how to, like, gather yourselves, all yourselves that are out there and stuff like that, and gather yourself in, then starting to listen to yourself is like the next thing, and totally trusting in what you're saying to yourself. You know, if it's positive, if it's negative, then you need to tell yourself to shut up, you know, and not accept anything that doesn't progress yourself and being part of loving yourself. And the biggest thing is learning to love the being that is yourself. And, you know, we always think it's our face and our, but no, it's the brain and all of the nerves and everything. That is the being that is in all of us. If you're a dog, if you're a cat, or if you're a human, there, that brain and that nervous system, that is the being, you know, and so that you have to, like, truly love that being, and that is what is loving yourself, is like truly loving yourself all the way to your being and trusting your being, because once you're loving yourself, well, then the things that you say to yourself are more important and more growth for yourself and your being. So that's the other thing that I've been working on is truly loving my being.
I love that. I really think that a lot of people need to do that. We all need to do that more. And it breaks my heart for myself and as many people as I meet who can't or don't love ourselves.
Right. You know, but I think that the thing that helps is knowing that you are loved by other people, you know. So it really is the reason why I truly want to love, is because it helps others with their growth, and also because knowing that they're loved, you know. So that's what it is that I work on, you know. And some people are really much harder to love than others, and there are some people that I don't love, that I can't love, because I know a dimension about them that I, you know, can't get past that, I guess.
I want to have you on every week. I'm looking forward to learning so much more about you and working with you on some projects. We've talked a little bit about the book that you're working on, and we've got about 10 minutes here, 12 minutes. I'm wondering if you'd share your song with us before I go down another tangent. Are you willing to?
Okay. I did choose a song to sing. This is a song I wrote in Dulce. I've written all my songs in New Mexico, and when I went to Dulce, we were trying to get rid of some puppies. I was living in Lindrith, and I was standing there in Dulce at the end of the Trail of Tears, and reading it, and this is the song that came to me. I've been on the trail of tears for a while. I've walked its lonely path. My soul is weary, shoes worn to the bone, and I'm afraid I'm lost on the trail of tears, always searching for my home. Can you tell me which way to go? It seems like I've been down this road before. Now I've heard tell there's an end, even read some have found their way, but I'm afraid I'm lost on the trail of tears. I'm afraid I'm lost. Can you tell me which way to go? It seems like I've been down this road before. Now I've heard tell there's an end, even read some have found their way, but I'm afraid lost on the trail of tears, always longing for my home.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wanted to dedicate that to you and to my beautiful friend, Barbara Branch, who has taught us how to heal and smile at the same time. What a beautiful, beautiful woman she is. And I love Barbara Branch.
Love you, Barbara.
Love you, Barbara.
That's it, right? Like, we're going through so many hard times in the world today. And I feel like it's so important for us to have a strong spiritual base to stand on and to lean on our ancestors and the spiritual community, the spirits around us. Just tell me what your thoughts are on this. I felt like lately, especially as this year has progressed, that the unseen beings, those interdimensional beings that might not exist on our light spectrum, are becoming more active to help us save this planet. I've had people coming up to me saying, Jada, what's going on? Like, I'm hearing voices lately, or I saw a ghost, or, you know, this ancestor, you know, speaking to me. And I've felt that probably the last 18 months or so, a very strong calling to connect with my ancestors in the spiritual realm. The voices are coming through. Have you experienced more activity or people coming to you looking for guidance in that?
Well, you know that the beginning of the world was chaos. And so the mother sent her sons to fight the chaos. And so chaos has always been a part of this world, and always willing to take over if that's what it can do. You know, now you may call whatever the chaos is negativity or whatever. And of course, the brothers were the positive of the chaos, but I think it is. The first thing is, like I said, in the relaxing of yourself, is working on the chaos within yourself. And if that's becoming a believer in some kind of spirituality, well, then that helps control the chaos within yourself. But you notice that it has a tendency to take over people if they let it, you know. So there is a constant fighting of the chaos, but the other thing about chaos is that it creates a change, and a lot of us don't like change, and so that we wanted things to be like they were in the 60s or the 70s, you know, and it's not that way, you know, so we have to be able to learn to control the chaos that is within inside of us, which is the loving, learning to love and really accepting who you are as a person and as a spiritual being, so that you can help with the rest of what's going on in the world. But if you are in chaos, then nothing is going to be solved, except for the fact that you cannot change what is coming, because in one way it's been written. So unfortunately, we have the biggest chaos maker, you know, in the world, sending us through this chaos, but it's for our growth and for the change that's going to come, you know. If you're a Star Trek fan, you know that the world had gone through a huge change in order to get to where they are, where there's no money, there's equality, and people working of all colors and genders working at jobs that they're respected at. And so we have to work on that without having to go through the heavy, chaotic war. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can stop that from happening. But we've got to change. You know, we have to change because we cannot not grow without this chaos. So it's controlling, starting with yourself. And that's why you have to learn to relax and to be and figure out who you really are and where you want to go in the future and what is going to be your role in it.
Thank you, Lily. This is just the beginning of, I hope, your appearances on my show.
Oh, thank you.
And it's a beautiful beginning because I want to help. I want this show to help just with the big H. And you've really underscored some points that seem really simple, but we've covered throughout history in how to survive this chaos and how to make change in the world, positive change for people. It really does begin inside, and home is where we are within. It's not without, and once we get ourselves settled, we can bring others along, you know, as above, so below, in that sense.
Right. I really and truly feel that love is the only way. That's the only way that we're going to make it through, is to be as loving and as positive as we can to everyone, so that we can show that we're changing.
All right. Well, I'm going to close the show now. Do you have any more final words? I think those were great.
I just want everyone to know how much I am happy to live here and be a part of this community, and how loving we are when people are in need. We come out to take care of each other and be a part of each other and hug each other and love each other. I just really love that a lot, and I want to thank everyone for just being a part of our community.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Relax. Love yourselves. Work on loving each other. I've been taking a laying on my floor lately. I've realized how often is I get overwhelmed, and then, you know, I'm just like, I'm just going to lay here for a minute. And it really does make a difference. Be easy. We can make it through all of this. Love y'all. In the Cab Radio is produced by Jada White, a.k.a. Dream Queen. Original theme music produced by Baby Weekend Boys and Iggy Mac the Beat Jugular. Learn more at In the Cab Radio at Linktree. Thank you so much for tuning in.